Fallout Equestria, Starlight, Chapter 35, Endgame, Part 1. You see, Nightmare Moon, when those elements are ignited by the spark that resides in the heart of all of us, it creates a sixth element, the element of magic. Truth. The coldest and most difficult of all things. Truth is the end, the beginning, the middle. Truth is all is truth. There is nothing more. The cold, hard truth of it is, we all fail. Failure is inevitable. It is expected. I have failed more times than I can count. That is the honest truth. The truth we tell ourselves when we are alone. The truth we hide behind falsehood for the sake of others. In the very end, we all face the truth. That we are not as strong as we think we are, that the cold grasp of death eventually takes us all. That, no matter our successes, in the end we are failures. What comes next is my ultimate testament to failure. My hidden truth. The truth that I can never accept, that I turn away from even when I walk alone in the middle of the night. That I am merely a vessel, a soul without guidance. That I am not a pony.
Ooh, new friends, new friends!
The pink alicorn exclaimed bubbly. I grimaced. Of course you would have to show up. Laughter. The bad feel tingling at the base of my spine only intensified as I heard the pounding of hoofs behind us. Something truly awful was about to happen, not just to me, but to the ponies of the overcast as well.
Heretics!
I heard Silver Sage shout, causing me to wince.
Defiling the holy place!
Silver Sage!
I called back, looking everywhere for Laughter's pink form.
Take your ponies and run, it isn't safe here!
The unicorn stomped a hoof indignantly.
No, heathen witch! You cast your mind magic on me, I will not succumb to your...
The stallion began to shout back. My eyes widened and I turned. The pink alicorn stood next to him, her tail embedded in his chest like a blade. It withdrew slowly, the wound gushing blood as she gleefully grinned. I hadn't even seen her move, let alone cross a clearing. The children of the cathedral who had been behind their leader were visibly frightened by the deadly mare.
You talk far too much, silly pony,
the alicorn said. She placed a hoof on the dying pony's shoulder, sending him to the ground in a heap. The pink mare turned to face a crowd of ponies that had gathered.
Now then, any pony else feel like talking up a storm at me?
Silence. The pink alicorn grinned.
Good. Now then, unless you want to become one of my new friends, you can get lost.
If the assemblage of ponies weren't scared before, they certainly were scared shitless after that. They scrambled to run away under the steely gaze of the demonic pink alicorn, who merely grinned and turned back to face us. Silver Sage lay next to her, gasping for breath.
Please help me,
I heard him say. I took a step forward, brandishing Stargazer.
Let him go, I said angrily. It's me you want.
The pink alicorn grinned widely, revealing far too many pearly white teeth. It was highly unnerving.
Oh, but I was having so much fun making a new friend. He just needed to stop talking so much. I don't really like ponies to talk too much. They're just not as fun as those that stay dead,
she said. Her tail whipped around again, drawing its tip along Sage's neck, which sliced wide open. Sage jerked once and went still in a spreading pool of blood.
You fucking killed him,
I growled.
Why?
Violet said from beside me.
Why couldn't you just let him go? He wasn't harming you.
The pink alicorn purred.
Maybe because I like to have fun,
she said, her voice dropping from a squeak to a menacing growl.
And that's exactly what we're going to do now. Have fun, because having fun is part of life, Radiant Star, and you and I, we're gonna have lots and lots of fun. I'm Sorrow, and I'm the worst pony you'll ever meet. Oh, we'll have fun, all right,
I replied.
Let's see how you do against the five of us.
I lifted Stargazer and fired. Violet took the hint and did the same with Thunderflash. The shrieking whine of the bitch joined the chorus. Magical energy, fire, and explosives merged together in a brilliant flash where Sorrow had been standing. When the dust cleared, there was nothing remaining.
Woohoo!
Lilith shouted.
Got her. Ooh, that was fun,
a voice from my left said. I looked to the side to see Sorrow standing next to me brandishing a stick like a zebra sniper rifle.
Let's do that again!
I jumped back, growling. Nixies and Sunshine leapt back as well, having also been next to the pink mare.
How in the hell did you...
I said. Sorrow grinned her eerie grin again, baring her teeth. When no pony said anything, she frowned.
Oh, come on! You made all sorts of flashy lights and big bangs! It just looked so pretty!
She said.
I can oblige,
I said, lifting Stargazer again. I fired, only to hit dead air. Sorrow was now standing back on the center of the bridge.
Whee! Can't catch me!
She chirped, bouncing in place. I growled loudly, firing again. Sorrow leapt into the air over the blast and bounded across the bridge.
Stay still!
I shouted, trying to track some erratic movements, but finding myself unable to do so. I tried to activate ESATS, but it wouldn't lock onto the pink terror.
No can do, gotta catch me first,
Sorrow replied happily. She bounced past me with a grin on her face, whipping about her tail. It smacked me in the face, bashing me to the ground. I grunted, feeling like I'd somehow been hit by a skywagon. Sorrow gleefully continued on, bouncing between blasts of silver fire and dodging vines from Sunshine Sky. Nothing seemed to touch her. I pushed myself to my hoofs, turning to get some sort of beat on the pink alicorn, but her movements were far too chaotic to even begin to try. Latching Stargazer, I opted instead to try and face her in melee combat. I lifted a hoof to strike, and before I knew it, a shiny red balloon was tied around my leg instead.
What's a...
I said. Sorrow giggled, and she stopped moving, well, almost. She bounded in place, somehow avoiding even sure shots. My brain was questioning every logical law of physical existence.
Ooh, balloons! Don't you just love them? You'll really like that one! It's special!
The pink mare said, her voice incredibly chipper. I blinked as the balloon began tugging my leg upwards, my body following along.
Star!
Violet shouted. I growled under my breath as the balloon accelerated. Flaring my horn, I attempted to deflate the balloon with my telekinesis. The round red orb stayed firmly in place, however, not even making a sound as it sped ever upwards. It wouldn't deflate. I summoned my amethyst blade with my magic and tried to slash its balloon with it. Nothing.
Violet!
I cried out as the world below me began to get smaller and smaller. Despite that, I could still see the grin on Sorrow's face. Most likely because she was right next to me. I blinked.
Wait, what?
I thought.
Ooh, you were surprised. Were you surprised, huh? Were ya?
She said, giggling. She danced up in the air next to me, her wings pinned tightly to her side as she pranced on nothing.
I figured the best way to get rid of you was with an impenetrable balloon, and I was right. Now you'll pass out and they'll go take you right to Spark.
I growled.
Let me down!
I shouted, igniting my horn to send a blast of telekinesis at her. Sorrow pirouetted aside, gesturing the blast past her like a friendly passerby. She giggled.
Silly Star,
she replied.
It doesn't quite work like that. Sparky Poo wants you bad, and I have to get you to her. That's just the way it works.
I growled, trying to kick at the mare, missing completely with every kick. I had to be calm. There had to be some way to get loose from this thing. I blinked.
Oh, Star, you really are stupid sometimes. Teleportation, duh.
I thought, rolling my eyes. My horn flared again and I cast a spell, focusing on everything except for the balloon. I disappeared and reappeared on the other side of the pink alicorn without the pesky balloon. The balloon went up, soaring into the stratosphere, and I grinned widely as I dropped out of the sky like a stone. I landed near the Azask, nearly scaring the wits out of Violet as I hit the ground next to her.
Star!
She cried out.
Are you all right?
I groaned.
Yeah, I'm fine,
I said, pushing myself to all four hoofs.
I managed to get free of the balloon. Cheater!
I blinked, looking up. Sorrow was standing back on the center of the bridge. I blinked several more times. How in the hell had she done that without any pony seeing it? It was like this pony defied all natural laws of the world. Sorrow's eyes were blazing with fury and she had a very distinct frown on her face.
It's not fun when you cheat, you know,
she said frumpily.
Looks like we're going to have to play one of my more favorite games. I know you'll just love them. There's a good kind that when you lose the game, you die.
Her horn ignited, and before I could call out to the others, the world around us began to change and shift. Violet and my friends disappeared before my eyes, as did Sorrow. The bridge and surroundings were replaced by a carnival? Lights and the sounds of circus magic assaulted my senses as I tried to take in what had just happened. There was no pony in sight except for me, standing in the center of the carnival's main square. Booths devoted to various games surrounded the open area, brightly colored under flapping red awnings. At the far end of the lot, a massive circus tent sat waiting. Balloons lined the stalls, each one bearing a different cutie mark. It was downright creepy.
"What the fuck?"
I said aloud.
"Hello, is any pony out there?"
No response. I grimaced, taking a step forward.
"Hello?"
Again, no response. Sorrow said this was one of her games. She'd said it was a deadly game, so I needed to be careful. Several more steps forward, I found myself near one of the game stalls. It was a simple game where a pony would throw darts at balloons on the wallboard at the back of the stall.
"Ooh, I just love balloon games!"
A voice from beside me exclaimed. I turned my head, seeing Sorrow standing next to me. I jumped back, hefting Stargazer into the air. Sorrow rolled her eyes.
"Silly filly, you shouldn't be playing with guns like that. You'll shoot some pony's eye out. Here, let me fix that for you."
Her horn flared and Stargazer disappeared in a flash of pink light.
"Hey!"
I cried indignantly.
"Give that back!" "No can do, Cranky Star. You're in my world now. We play the games by the rules." "We play the games by my rules,"
Sorrow said, grinning widely.
"I have to go check on your friends. Play some games, Radiant Star. I'll be back to play with you real soon. Cross my heart, hope to fly, stick a cupcake in my eye."
She even made the hoof motions. I blinked as she disappeared before my eyes.
"Sorrow!"
I shouted.
"Get back here! Leave my friends alone!"
No response. Of course not. What game was she playing? All she was doing was delaying us. Was that her intent? I wasn't sure. I turned. What was she doing to my friends? Were they stuck in this place too? I silently vowed to find out and break out of this illusion. I started trotting away from the balloon game stall, heading towards the largest structure I could see, which was the circus tent at the far end of the carnival. It loomed over everything, so obviously it had to be important, right? I found myself at the entrance to the tent a lot faster than my gait could account for. I pushed aside the drapes covering the opening, grimacing. The inside of the circus tent was set up like a typical three-ring circus. Large animal cages sat at the back of the tent, empty and cold. The bleachers were about the same, no pony sitting in them. A thin layer of dust covered everything like it hadn't been touched in centuries. I was about to leave when a spotlight flared to life, highlighting something in the middle of the tent. It gleamed brightly in the center ring.
"It couldn't be,"
I thought as I edged closer. It looked like the last piece of the chart, but why would Sorrow have it? Isn't it supposed to be with Spark? My mind reeled, trying to process this as I got closer to the ring. In the center ring was a pedestal, a glass case sitting on the top. Inside of it was a pulsing purple chart of crystal. It was the final piece of the chart. I moved to pull the case away to take it. Despite the fact that Stargazer was sent somewhere, I could still recover the chart and hope for the best. As I was reaching for the case, a surge of alarm in the back of my mind urged me to move. I ducked and rolled just as a pink form slammed into the ground where I had been standing. Sorrow's eyes flared as a poofy mass of her hair collapsed to hang limply from her head.
"You didn't even try any of the fun games, did you?"
she snarled.
"Just had to go and ruin the fun. Your friends are all enjoying their games, but not you. I should have known you'd fuck everything up."
I glared back at her, pushing myself to my hoofs.
"I'm sorry, but you have something that belongs to me," I said. "Now get out of my way, release my friends, and get bent."
Sorrow sneered.
"I don't think so,"
she replied. Her horn flared and a spotlight crashed into the pedestal behind her, crushing it into flinders.
"We have still so much more fun things to do."
She cocked her head, a sick and twisted grin appearing on her face.
"I know, we're in a circus, so you're going to put on a show. Here's the main attraction."
I blinked.
"What?"
I said flatly. Sarah grinned, igniting her horn. She teleported away, reappearing in a flash of light on the ringleader's podium. Strangely enough, she wore a top hat, a cloak, and a fake moustache. She cackled with glee as she reared up on her hind legs.
Fillies and gentlepals, I give you the Scourge of Chickercoat, the Mauler of Manhattan, the one, the only, Ministry Mayor!
She called out. A spotlight appeared out of nowhere, centered on me. I heard cheering and boos. I blinked again. Sitting on the bleachers now were large groups of shadowy creatures. Each one had dotted red eyes, all staring at me. Sorrow grinned, waving a hoof.
At performing tonight is our lovely assistant with a menagerie of mischief-making mammals. And to be clear, there's no escaping, so if you would, maestro, lower the cage, please.
A massive energy cage appeared out of nowhere, encasing the entire set of rings. My eyes widened as Sorrow disappeared again in a flash of pink light.
Sorrow!
I roared.
Get back here and face me!
Sorry, Ministry Mayor,
the Alicorn's voice echoed from all around me.
But this will be fun, you'll see. Now, let the games begin!
A roar drew my attention back to my surroundings. At the far end of the last ring stood what appeared to some form of large feline, except it was wrong. Its body was distorted, its eyes a deep red, and its coat a dark shadowy black. It opened its mouth, revealing a shiny row of gleaming teeth. It jumped off of its podium, stalking towards me. I grimaced, flaring my horn to call my amethyst blade into existence.
All right, then, I said. If that's the way you want to play, let's play.
The feline creature responded by leaping at me, its teeth bared and claws extended. I jumped to the side, dodging as best as I could while slashing wildly with my blade. I struck the beast, the amethyst sinking into its hide as it hit the ground. It snarled loudly, turning to face me. It was like my attack hadn't even faced it. I grumbled, recalling the charge which erupted from the monster's side with a loud slurp. I blinked. The feline beast, giving me no warning whatsoever, charged forward.
Shit,
I said, turning tail and running from the giant shadow feline.
Shit, good kitty.
I ran as hard as I could before I realized that I didn't have much space to really run in. The wall of energy that was surrounding the rings was shrinking. I grimaced as I stopped in my tracks. I turned back to see the shadow feline continuing to chase after me. I flared my horn, coming up with the only spell I could think of. In a flash of light, I disappeared and reappeared on the far end of the ring just as the shadowy creature leapt into the air. It struck the wall with a blaze of fire, disintegrating instantly. I blinked.
Really don't want to touch that,
I said before realizing that despite the apparent death of the shadow cat, the walls were still shrinking. I wouldn't have much choice sooner or later.
Teleportation works here,
I thought.
That must mean that Sorrow hadn't anticipated my abilities too well. Either that or she's actively toying with me. I wonder if I can teleport beyond the walls.
I ignited my horn, hoping for the best. I cast the spell, disappearing again and reappearing outside the circus tent. I grinned widely. I'd done it. Of course, I still needed to...
Hold it!
A voice said, cutting through my inner monologue. My eyes lifted to see Sorrow standing down the far end of the aisles leading up to the circus tent. She looked pissed.
You're not playing the games right, Radiant Star?
I smiled coyly, sticking my tongue out.
Don't care,
I said.
I'm through playing your stupid game, Sorrow. Come here and fight me like an Alicorn.
I summoned my blade once more, the amethyst shards floating in the air around me.
Or are you that much of a chicken? I'm not a chicken!
Sorrow roared. Sorrow roared. Her eyes glowed brightly for a brief moment before returning to their normal dull blue color. She grunted. Something was really off with her. What was it? When she'd first appeared, she had been slightly insane, bouncy and bubbly. Now, I couldn't place a hoof on it. It was almost like she really was upset that we weren't playing the games. After several awkward moments of silence, she finally spoke.
Fine, you want to play with Sorrow? We'll play. I would have liked you to play the more fun games first, but I guess we can progress right to the fighty one. I warn you, Radiant Star, I'm a lot stronger than the others. The others all said that,
I mused.
And I beat them all just the same. You're the only one that's left, so let's do this already. I've got places to be and a wasteland to save.
Sarah chuckled, her mane suddenly deflating from the insane mess it was to a limp, noodly-like manner. Her eyes flashed and suddenly she was gone. I blinked as she reappeared next to me, her tail whipping around like it had a mind of its own. She drew the tip of it along my side, lacerating my flesh and catching to the bone of my shoulder. I screamed, pain shooting through my side as the tip of her tail dug in. I jumped back, twirling one of my charts of my blade around to slash at Sorrow, but she wasn't there.
Going to have to do better than that to catch me!
The pink alicorn echoed cheerfully, her voice sounding all around me. I growled, feeling the blood trickling down my shoulder. It burned like wildfire, but I didn't have much time to consider just how much it hurt before Sorrow reappeared behind me. I ducked, barely missing a strike from her deadly tail. I pushed myself into a roll as the other alicorn struck again, hitting the ground hard. I stopped, blinking when I got back to my hoofs and found myself staring into a cannon painting an incongruous powder blue.
What's that?
I started to say before the device lit off and sent a blast of fire right at me. It struck me in the chest, sending me flying right through several of the game stalls and into a full-sized pool that had been set up for some sort of fishing game. I groaned as I pushed myself up out of the pool, feeling wet and pained. I looked down at my chest, my coat marred and blackened slightly from the explosive blast.
Party cannon kaboom!
Sorrow snarled as she appeared in front of me. Two more of the cannon devices slammed into the ground on each side of her, pointed straight at me. I jumped back and raised my alicorn shield as they fired. The cannon fire slammed into the purple barrier, rocking me into the back of a stall and over into the next one. Dismissing the shield, I jumped up to my hoofs and resummoned my blade. I swung wildly with the full blade, striking at Sorrow. Or what I thought was Sorrow. The form of the pink alicorn deflated instantly after being hit. I growled loudly. Sorrow bounced in place just outside the game stall, beaming. I turned towards her, glaring.
This is fun, she said. More fun than I've had in a long time, you're funny, Radiant Star. And you're sick in the head,
I snarled, readying my blade.
Now hold still.
I hurtled the charts across the aisle at her.
Nope,
Sorrow chortled, dodging my attacks with practiced ease. She giggled loudly as she landed on top of one of the game stalls.
Besides, I'm not sick, or am I? Oh my gosh, am I sick? I don't feel sick. I'm not green. Blah!
I blinked.
It was an expression,
I deadpanned.
You're mentally sick, or something. I don't know what yet. Silly filly, I'm not mentally sick,
Sorrow replied.
Those ponies that wanted to see graphic depictions of full births. Now, those ponies are sick.
I blinked again.
What?
I replied, feeling very confused at what was going on. Sorrow took the opportunity to leap off the stall at me, her tail whipping around to strike me again. I yelped as I jumped back, bringing up my blade to try and block. The charts and Sorrow's tail met in a clash of sparks, forcing me back up the pass. I didn't even want to begin to figure out how her tail had sparked. In fact, I didn't want to try and figure out how she did half the things she was capable of doing. I just needed to get her off guard long enough to cast my memory spell.
Look out below!
I heard Sorrow shout, her horn flaring with wild, unbridled magic. She cackled madly. I looked up to see a giant confetti bomb falling from the sky. My eyes widened.
What the fuck?
I cried out, leaping sideways into a nearby food stall, one appropriately titled Gummy Shakes. Images of vacant-eyed, toothless alligators peered out at me from every surface. I scrambled to my hoofs to push over to the next stall, using my blade to cut through the tarps that separated them. I pushed through as the bomb struck the ground and exploded. I was thrown forward, landing on my rump in the next aisle over. I grunted loudly in pain as I flopped over. Every inch of my body screamed in pain, every muscle fighting to keep moving. I stood, feeling my bones cry out in protest. Sorrow's laughter came from all around me. She was everywhere. This world, whatever it was her making, just like Everys had created her own little crystal prison. There had to be a way out. I had to find it if I had any hope of surviving against Sorrow. She was simply far too powerful and unpredictable here. I flared my horn, gathering the magic needed for a teleport. I reappeared back in the main square of the carnival. Sorrow was nowhere to be seen, but I could still hear her laughing. I didn't have much time.
Now, there has to be a way out of here,
I mused to myself.
This place had an entrance. It's gotta have an exit.
I frantically looked up and down each aisle I could see, finally resting my gaze on a massive gate sitting at the opposite end of the carnival from the circus tent.
There!
I sawed, charging down the aisle towards it. I cleared the carnival stalls, screeching to a halt as Sorrow appeared in front of the gate. She looked less than thrilled.
Trying to leave already?
She snarled under her breath.
Sorry, Sorrow,
I growled.
But it's time for the party to be over.
Sorrow roared loudly at the top of her lungs.
The party's never over,
she cried out angrily, stomping her hoofs like a filly throwing a tantrum.
And when Sparky Bucky has her way, it'll never end. I'll be able to throw parties for every pony in Equestria, and they'll all be happy forever. No, Sorrow, they won't,
I said calmly.
If Spark wins, we all lose, you know that. I know that. Let's just go and we'll stop Spark. No!
Sorrow barked.
I won't let you ruin this!
She leapt into the air, bringing her scary-as-hell tail to bear. I two-stepped to the side, doing my best to try and keep away from the deadly appendage. Sorrow responded to my dodge by pulling another one of those cannons from her mane and firing it at me. I yelped loudly as I threw up another Alicorn shield. The blast rocked me back, but thankfully the shield held. I dropped the shield, using the explosion-y mist as cover to break for the gate. I knew if I made it through that, I could get out of here and stop Sorrow on my terms, not hers. The pink Alicorn charged through the fog left by the cannon blast, snarling loudly as I made it to the gate. I pushed my telekinesis into overdrive, shattering the gate completely. I leapt through, hoping it would lead me back to where I was before. I landed in sunlight. I blinked, looking back. The world that Sorrow had created was neatly contained in a black sphere hovering over the bridge. My friends were nowhere to be seen, presumably still contained in their own little world. Luckily for me, Stargazer lay just beyond the sphere. I grimaced, formulating a plan to counterattack. I knew I had to be fast to catch Sorrow off guard. I barely had a moment to prepare before Sorrow came barreling out of the sphere herself, her rage beginning to clearly show in her appearance. It was something that struck me as odd about her, but the angrier she became, the more feral she looked. I wrote this off as one more thing that would forever confuse me about laughter. I jumped back, ready for the pink mare as she touched ground. I made my move, launching into a charge. Sorrow's eyes widened as I slammed into her, rocking her off her hoofs and to the ground. She yelped, hitting the ground hard. Without even thinking, I lowered my head, feeling the magic surging off of it to cast the memory spell. The tips of our horns touched, and the world fell away into oblivion. I blinked, taking in the soft light of the room I was sitting in. The sounds of raucous laughter and folds playing filled my ears as I took in my surroundings. Lightly blue-painted walls, signs with words on them like WTSD victims and burn ward caught my attention. I finally looked down, seeing the folds that were playing before me. They were barely old enough to be out of diapers, but every one of them had something wrong with them. A bandage here, a cast there. There was even one filly with bandages obscuring what looked like harsh burns all over her body. It was scary to witness something so innocent be hurt in such a way. It reminded me of Starry Night and Lightning Chaser. I almost cried. And yet, none of these youngsters were crying. None of them were lamenting their bad fortune or angry over the state of their lives. They were laughing, playing, and loving life. And in the center of it all, a platter of cupcakes precariously balanced on her nose, was Pinkie Pie.
Alright kids, it's time for Auntie Pinkie Pie's super special cupcake surprise!
She called out as she bounced the platter of cupcakes onto a nearby table. They landed with impeccable precision, not even jarring a single one of the tasty treats. The kids shouted happily, swarming over to the pink mare to get a cupcake. Pinkie giggled profusely as she passed them out. A glance at the back of the room revealed two other ponies in the room, both wearing uniforms that marked them as ministry employees for the Ministry of Morale. Unicorn Mare and Pegasus Stallion. Huh, interesting.
Thanks, Auntie Pinkie. Yeah, you're the best. I love this cupcake.
The folds continued to leverage the pink mare with praise. Pinkie grinned widely, taking in the folds' appreciation with glee. She broke out a trombone, playing loudly for the kids while they bounced around in time with a beat. It was amazing to see how much happiness existed in that room of broken dreams. I couldn't imagine actually having been there. Finally, the unicorn mare in the back of the room trotted through the sea of foals, stopping by her boss's side.
"We just got word, Miss Pye," the mare said. "We need to go."
Pinky nodded silently before turning to the foals.
"Auntie Pinky has to go now, my little ponies,"
she chirped happily, instantly capturing the attention of every pony in the room.
"Now, I know things seem bad, but your mummies and daddies all love you very much, and you're gonna get to see them soon. That's a pinky promise from yours truly."
She did the motions of the pinky promise.
"All of you be real good and remember what I always say. Smile, smile, smile."
The assembled crowd of foals replied in unison. Pinky smiled again.
"That's right, because all we ever need is smile from our happy friends,"
she said.
"Bye now, kids, bye."
She began trotting after the unicorn mare towards the door. I followed, certain that there was more to this than what I had just seen. The Pegasus stallion popped open the door and the three ponies stepped out into the hall. As soon as she was out of the children's view, Pinky's mane deflated and her eyes became cold and serious.
"Ma'am,"
the unicorn mare said,
"the transmission came in a few seconds ago. One of the ponies we implanted at Four Stars was found dead in his apartment this morning. It's a safe bet to say that they were involved in it. They're on to us." "Thank you, Pumpkin,"
Pinky replied coolly as they made their way to the elevator.
"It's just as I predicted. Those Four Stars ponies are up to no good. They're going to need to put together a raid. Contact Bonbon at the home office. She'll know what to do."
"You want to raid Four Stars?"
the stallion replied incredulously. Pinky nodded, stepping into the elevator and pressing the button to make it go down.
"They're bad ponies,"
she said.
"We need to stop them from hurting Equestria. I have to try."
"Try to do what?"
the stallion asked. Pinky opened her mouth to reply, but closed it without saying a word. The elevator stopped with a lurch.
"You two go on ahead and get the sky wagon ready,"
Pinky said.
"I have something else to do here before I leave."
"But ma'am, we're supposed to be your security detail," the mayor said. "What if something were to happen to you? Pinky, I just don't want you..."
"I'll be fine, Pumpkin. This is personal business,"
Pinky replied venomously. The unicorn mare gulped loudly but nodded. She motioned to the stallion and they trotted on ahead. Pinkie Pie stopped in the hallway, turned right at me and smiled. Her mane bubbled back into its normal poofiness. I blinked.
"Don't tell me,"
I said aloud.
"You can see me?" "Yup,"
Pinkie Pie chirped. I groaned.
"I remember you too. You showed up in a mirror once."
I sighed, remembering that strange memory orb that Pinky had been able to see me in. I really, really would never understand how she did things like this.
"It's because Pinky is more in tune with the element,"
a voice said, almost reading my mind. I looked up to see a gorgeous pink alicorn standing next to her.
"Hello, Pinky dear, it's so wonderful to see you. Lovey!"
Pinky cried out, jumping up to give the spirit of laughter a great big hug.
"Lovey?"
I replied, holding a hoof in front of my face to hide a giggle. I earned myself a sharp glare from the spirit.
"As I was saying," she said, "Pinky here is more in tune with her element because she understands laughter like no pony else. She was special to me." "Ah, thanks, Luffy,"
Pinky said. She grinned widely and then suddenly frowned.
"If you're here, that means..."
"Yes, Pinky, it means exactly what you think,"
laughter said.
"I'm so sorry, my dear." "What is she talking about?"
I asked. Laughter grimaced.
"Pinky, I need to freeze you for a moment. You mustn't hear what I am to tell this mare,"
she said. Pinkie Pie saluted, suddenly freezing in place. Laughter turned to me.
"Tomorrow is the day the world ends, the day that my bearer dies, and I become my dormant spirit, waiting to be awakened."
"And you can't tell her,"
I said.
"Warn her?" "Pinky already knows enough, I think. For me to warn her in such a fashion would be to break several laws of time and space,"
Laughter said.
"The war, the end of the war, no matter how violent it was, had to happen. It always did. It always will. There's no changing that. So you just have to watch your bearer die?"
I said, suddenly feeling very small in this conversation.
"The pain that it will cause me is greater than any amount of pain I've ever endured, Radiant Star. Part of the joy of laughter is learning to share it with others. Pinky shared it with everyone, no matter who they were,"
she said.
"But Pinky's legacy lives on in the heart of ponies everywhere. I can see it in the hearts of those living in the wasteland. The virtues are there, they only need stoked by a fire. By the spark that ignites the passion to live by their rules. The elements of harmony,"
I said. Laughter nodded.
Do you know why the elements of harmony are so important, Radiant Star?
She asked. I shook my head.
They're not important because of some fancy piece of jewelry or the stones set inside them. They're important because of what they represent. Friendship. Giving of oneself. Being honest and true. Being kind and loving. Loyal to the very end. Laughing and living. Loving and laughing some more. These are the tenets that all ponies seek in their hearts, whether they know it or not. All that remains is to give them a chance to find them. To find the spark that lies deep down inside their soul. Like Spark,
I said. Laughter nodded.
Like Spark,
she said.
She thought she could control the elements, force her will upon them, damage them as she was damaged. I warn you, Star, her corruption runs deep. You will have to reach very far down to find some air beneath the hate and rage to save her. I'll do it. I'll do whatever it takes to save her,
I said. Laughter chuckled.
I hope that you succeed, she said. However, as Honesty told you, you will need to seal Spark in order to reach that mare, in order to save her. I know that you know what that entails, right?
I grimaced.
I do, I said. I don't agree with it, though. There has to be another way. I wish that there was,
Laughter replied.
There very well may be. I do not know for sure. So you'll help me, right? Disperse your physical form?
I said, narrowing my gaze at the pink mare.
Of course,
Laughter said.
I will do what I can. You will still need to face my physical form, but I think you'll find that she'll be a lot more amiable to your demands. What do you mean?
I said, cocking my head.
It means that you shouldn't run into too many problems defeating her,
Laughter said.
Once you disperse me, it will be over. Spark's hold on the elements will not remain. All that will be left is dealing with Spark herself. And what about you?
I asked.
What will you do? There is another bearer out there for me. She is smart and joyful, and while she cannot replace Pinky in my heart, she will do great things for the Wasteland. In fact, she already has,
Laughter said. I blinked.
It sounds like you know who it is already,
I said.
None of the others seem to even know that much, only that there was a new bearer.
Laughter nodded.
Who is it? I believe her name is Ditsy Doo,
Laughter said, putting a hoof up to her chin. My eyes widened.
Wait, Ditsy Doo, as in the author of the Western Survival Guide, Ditsy Doo?
I asked. Laughter nodded again.
Wow, she's the new element of laughter? That's... A great tide of change is coming upon this world, Radiant Star. The new bearers of harmony will usher in an age of peace and serenity, free from the oppression of the Wasteland and free of the radiation that has plagued the land so...
Laughter replied. I grimaced and then my eyes widened.
Spark doesn't know about the new bearers, does she?
I said. Laughter's gaze narrowed at me.
No, she doesn't,
she said.
She's become blinded, thinking only of herself. Her corruption has become compulsion. When she took control of us, we were unable to even talk about the bearers. Spark prohibited any discussion of bearers, new or old. Twilight was her bearer, and Twilight betrayed her. That's all she cared about. Twilight sealed her away because it became dangerous, but even Twilight must have known the elements could select new bearers,
I said, mostly aloud to myself than to any pony else.
Wait, if you know about Ditsy, why don't you get her involved? Or the other bearers, for that matter? The others are not bearers yet,
Laughter said.
They're going to be, but in order for the magic of harmony to function, all six must be present. They don't know who all the bearers are?
I said, cocking my head. Laughter nodded.
Generosity and magic are unaccounted for,
she replied.
Until all six join together, we cannot go to them. And if Spark's plan succeeds...
I started to say, my eyes widening.
Exactly,
Laughter said, a grimace on her face.
And then I said, Oatmeal, are you crazy?
Pinkie Pie suddenly blurted out before I could say anything else. She looked up at us and her eyes widened. She grinned sheepishly.
Sorry, I got bored being all frozen, so I told myself a story that I finished right when I unfroze.
Laughter chuckled softly.
Oh, Pinkie,
she said.
I'm certainly going to miss you greatly. Oh, where are you going?
Pinkie said happily.
Somewhere far, my old friend,
Laughter said.
But not too far. I will always be with you, Pinkie Pie. In my heart, you will always remain, as it is for all of our friends.
She looked back up at me, narrowing her gaze.
It is time for you to go now. Find Spark. Save her. Return the wayward spirit of magic to her senses. Her time to shine is coming soon, and she will be needed for the change to come ahead.
I nodded slowly as the world around me faded to black.
My eyes opened, a groan escaping from my mouth as I forced myself to a standing position. Across from me was the stirring from sorrow. Beyond her, the sphere that led to that strange, nonsensical carnival world. There was no sign of my friends, but deep down I knew they had to be okay. Sorrow's eyes finally opened and she stirred. Her mane was no longer a rat's nest. It now hung limply along her neck. The color of her coat, mane and tail were all muted, the glow of the crystal on her chest diminished slightly. Her gaze narrowed at me.
"You severed the connection," she said.
I blinked. Of course she would know what I did. I had expected it.
"I can no longer feel the spirit of laughter." "So what are you now then?" I asked, smiling smugly at the broken golem.
Sorrow glared at me.
"I am perfection, a slice of the perfection that was part of the element of laughter," she said.
I noticed that her voice had changed too. It no longer held the bubbly quality that she had before I cast the memory spell.
"Perfection that will hold the wasteland in awe as they serve their new queens." "I don't think so, Sorrow," I replied. "You won't be queen of anything. Now, let's release my friends. I have a feeling I can free them now."
I flared my horn, sending a telekinetic blast past the alicorn. It landed squarely on the sphere, sitting on the center of the bridge, the black sphere glowing with purple energy. It dissipated into nothingness, revealing my friends. They were sitting in the middle of the bridge, looking very confused. I fought the urge to snicker at Violet. My mare friend was wearing a rainbow-colored wig and had clown makeup on. She was on her hoofs immediately, eyes wide.
"Star, what in the hell happened?"
she said. I grimaced.
"You were all stuck in Sorrow's little mindfuck game,"
I said, motioning at the pink alicorn who was glaring at me silently.
"Don't worry, though, I've got this."
Sorrow snarled, igniting her horn, sending a blast of energy at me. I jumped to the side, dodging the blast with ease. Sorrow responded by charging at me. I had expected her to be right next to me with her insane speed, but instead she moved at a normal speed. I blinked. Something had happened to her when I had severed her connection.
"I'm going to get you for that,"
Sorrow roared, her tail whipping about in a furious strike. I jumped back, barely missing getting sliced by the dangerous appendage. I grinned. With her speed reduced, I had the upper hoof in the battle now. I summoned my magical blade, splitting it into 5 whirling charts. Sorrow swung her tail around again, meeting the hard amethyst of one of the charts in a crude block.
"What's the matter, Sorrow? You're not moving so fast now,"
I teased, further enraging the pink alicorn.
"Shut up!"
she shouted, her horn pushing out enough energy to knock me flying with another telekinetic blast. I threw up my alicorn shield, easily dissipating the energy.
"Why, this is so much more fun, don't you think?"
I said, adding a light chuckle to the mix. Sorrow's face exploded with anger.
"Good, keep goading her into giving herself up,"
I thought.
"I just have to get Stargazer and then I can end this."
The pink alicorn launched across the distance between us, resorting to hoof strikes and attempting at biting, all of which fell short of my dodging. I kept moving away from her, keeping her at hoof's length at all times.
"Stop fucking moving!"
Sorrow screeched. I grinned, flaring my horn. I grabbed Stargazer from just below me and laughed as it floated up into the air.
"Okay, I'll stop,"
I said, dropping into ESATS, hoping and praying to Luna that this would work. I was elated when the targeting spell came up and was able to actually target her. I queued up every shot available and released the spell. Stargazer's barrels flared to life and blue light poured from it, slamming into the alicorn with intense force. Sorrow went flying back, hitting the ground with a hard thud. As she struggled to get up, I noticed the crystal on her chest was pulsing. The gem exploded, incinerating the alicorn's body in a flash of blue. I blinked. I'd done it. I beat her.
It's too bad that party ended like it did. I was hoping to have a little more fun,"
a voice whispered in my ear. I whirled around, seeing nothing. I blinked.
"Good luck, Radiant Star. You're gonna need it."
The voice stopped and I stood there, jaw open.
"Star?"
I heard a voice from behind me say. I turned to see Violet standing there. The others were behind her, looking equally confused. I again fought back the urge to laugh once I got a better look at them. In addition to Violet's rainbow wig, Nixie's had a balloon animal hat, Lily's wing blades were painted a bright pink, much to her chagrin, and Sunshine Sky's horn had a blinking light-up attachment on it. I slumped to my haunches, the urge to guffaw winning over everything else at that moment. I chortled.
Look at you guys.
Violet grimaced.
We know, she said, rolling her eyes. We look ridiculous.
Tears of laughter in my eyes, I finally fought down the urge to continue laughing.
And here I was worried you'd die or something in there.
I laughed.
I don't get it. What's so funny?
Nixies asked. I snickered.
Star, cut it out. We've got someplace to be, remember?
Violet snarled. I sighed happily, picking myself up from my haunches.
I know,
I said, clearing the last of my laughter tears from my eyes with a fetlock.
First things first, though.
I trotted over to the center of the bridge where Sorrow's carnival prison sphere had been. I grinned at what I saw. Lying in the center was the final piece of the chart, the one that Spark had been assumed she already had. I lifted it, opening up the casing on Stargazer where the star crystal was mounted. In a flash of purple light, it absorbed the rest of the chart, looking finally complete. The crystal itself mirrored Twilight's cutie mark, its six-pointed star containing 5 colored six-pointed stars on its inner radius. Each smaller star was a color that represented that element of harmony.
Wow,
Violet said, trotting up next to me.
Sorrow had the final piece?
I nodded.
Yes, I wonder if Spark intentionally gave it to her or not,
I said aloud.
Regardless, it's mine now. There's just one more thing left to do before we get going.
What's that? Violet asked. I smiled softly, trotting back to the other side of the bridge where Silver Sage's body lay. I picked up the body in my magic and began walking over to the remains of the overcast. There was no pony in sight, but I was certain we were still being watched by the children of the cathedral. I lifted a hoof and knocked on the open hull, making a loud banging sound. A unicorn mare and a stallion appeared, looking deathly frightened of me.
Go away! Yeah, go away! You can do whatever you want!
I lifted a hoof slowly.
I've come to return Silver Sage's body to you. He deserves to be buried among his own,
I said.
I would not be who I am if I did not do at least that much. We apologize for the trouble we've brought you. I will leave him right here and we will be on our way.
I stepped back, allowing the two ponies' room to step out and collect Silver Sage. As expected, the mare and stallion popped out, their horns lighting up as they picked up the dead unicorn's body. They just as quickly retreated inside. I turned back to the others and trotted back to Violet. I smiled softly, pulling out a scrap of clothes. I wiped the makeup away from her face and removed the rainbow wig with a flash of my horn.
Thanks,
she said.
No problem, sweetie. It looked lovely, though,
I replied.
Now then, let's get going. We've got a world to save. Sounds epic when you say it like that,
Lilith said, grinning. I trotted back onto the bridge, staring down the double doors that sat at the end. The others filed up on each side of me. I started forward, determined and ready. Somewhere ahead lay Spark and Lucky and the end of all of this. I had to be ready. The crystal chart power source was finished. Twilight had said I would need it to defeat Spark. I had to wonder just what she meant by that. Would I have to perform that spell? I pulled away from my meandering thoughts long enough to ignite my horn and force open the double doors. The hallway that lay ahead was dusty and dank, filled with rubble and debris. It extended deep inside the cathedral. It was hard to believe that this place had once been the center of a major slaver organization. I took a step inside, the musky scent of wet assaulting my senses as I continued forward. The hallway continued for quite a while, the crunch of rocks beneath our hoofs and feet the only noises we could hear. The end of the hall opened up into a massive open room. I realized that I'd seen the hall before. It was the old throne room that Twilight had cast the original sealing spell in. Torn banners lined the walls, not those belonging to old Equestria, but the symbols of Red Eye. Pillars lay haphazardly all over the room, broken and dusted. Several tunnels extended off from the side and back of the hall. I had expected to see Spark lounging on the throne, but she wasn't there.
She'll be down in the deepest part of the cathedral, not the throne room,
a voice in the back of my mind piped up. I blinked. It sounded like,
Twilight,
I thought, looking up and down the debris.
Is that you?
Yes, Dark, it's me,
she replied. I blinked again.
How am I hearing you?
I thought. Why was Twilight so loud in the back of my mind? I thought I had to go to the library to hear her, so why could I hear her as clear as day? It didn't make any sense.
It's the proximity to Spark. The connection between us is strengthening thanks to her,
Twilight said.
I thought that you might need a little help.
Well, I certainly appreciate it,
I thought back. I smiled. I was pleased for some reason to have Twilight there with me. I was going to need all the help I could get against Spark.
Star, we need to talk,
Twilight said.
You're so close now to her, you need to consider what you're going to do about Spark.
I know what I'm going to do, Twilight,
I thought.
I'm going to save her, we've discussed this already.
Star, you have to at least consider the prospect that Spark might not be worth saving,
Twilight replied. I grimaced, ignoring Twilight. I needed to do this my way. Doubt crept into the back of my mind. What if Twilight was right? What if the only option I had was to seal Spark? What are we looking for exactly? Sunshine interjected into my conversation, her eyes wide as she looked around. Nixie slopped past her, placing two paws on the ground and closing his eyes.
Stairs, some way to go down,
I said.
Spark's down below us somewhere, I just know it.
I'm not seeing any stairs around this room, Star, Violet said. I grimaced, trotting up to the two ancient thrones that made up the majority of the room. Red Eye's symbol had been painted over them, or rather, what was left of them. Half of the second throne was destroyed, the rubble laying on the ground next to it. I sat in frustration.
Well, it looks like we'll just need to keep moving then, I said finally. There's gotta be some stairs around here somewhere.
Agreed, Nixis replied. I'm definitely getting the sense that there is a large expanse of tunnels below us, but the stone won't tell me much more than that.
Guys?
Lilith said as she pointed down at tunnels that branched out from the throne room.
Not to burst your bubble or anything, but which way do we go?
I trotted back down the steps from the two thrones, a frown on my face.
The tunnel at the back, Star. I can feel Spark,
Twilight responded in the back of my mind.
I have a strong feeling we need to head forward, I said, pointing at the tunnel that was sitting just beyond the thrones.
It was the same one Twilight had pointed out.
That one.
The others nodded and we made our way over to the tunnel. The inside of it was just like the previous tunnel, dark and smelly. The walls had been covered in metal, bent and twisted by the damage that had been done to the place. The tunnel wound along for several feet before opening up into a slightly wider hall. Suits of pony armor lined the walls, looking as pristine as they were on the day they were first placed there. I narrowed my gaze at them as we passed.
Some pony's been busy,
Violet whispered.
Yeah,
Sunshine added.
Still kind of creepy.
Very creepy,
Lilith chimed in. I grimaced.
Shh, I whispered.
Every pony, calm down. There's nothing here, just a bunch of old pieces of armor on display.
A clanking sound stopped me in my tracks. My head turned back to see one of the suits of armor stepping off its pedestal. Red eyes glared out from underneath its helmet. My eyes widened as lights began to appear on my EFS.
Star, I'm pretty sure that pieces of armor don't just get up like that,
Lilith said. I gulped, nodding. Another suit of armor joined the one behind us, and then another. Clanking sounds rang out down the hallway from in front of me as well as three more of the suits of armor appeared. Violet floated out Thunderflash, sending a blast of silver fire down the hall at the first of the suits. It struck it squarely in the head, the helmet exploding in a shower of sparks. The suit of armor fell limply to the ground, revealing that its body was robotic. One of the robots behind its fallen brethren lifted its hoof, firing a stream of red that could have cut us in two if not for Lilith's armor. The black mare shielded us with a wing, deflecting the red beam away into the cold metalwork of the hallway.
Robots! Why did it have to be robots?
I mused as I lifted Stargazer, dropping into ESATS. Releasing the spell, my acute shots exploded in the tiny hallway, tearing the robot's suits of armor in front of me to pieces. They sparked and shorted as I started to move forward.
Every pony, keep moving forward! Don't let them surround you!
Star!
Violet shouted, pointing with her hoof. I looked forward, glowering. The tunnel was narrowing down some, putting us dangerously close together. All around us, the robotic suits of armor were coming to life, stepping off their pedestals to attack. I grunted as several of them tried to restrain me. My horn flared, sending them flying back into the walls, shattering them to pieces. More of the things were attempting to hold down Lilith, but a flurry of the black mare's wings swiftly sliced them in half. Nixis used his bulk to block the attacks of robotic suits, while Sunshine and Violet fired back at the ones to our rear. I moved forward, keeping my horn lit to smash apart any of the suits in front of us. After several agonizing minutes of chaotic battle, I pushed out into the next room. The others flopped next to me. My eyes widened as I took in the size of the room. The room itself was huge, appearing to be some sort of hangar-like structure. Ponikins lay overturned on the ground on each side of the room. It looked like it may have been used for the slavers' troops to train in or something. Banners bearing red-eyed symbols adorned the walls, while the floor in the middle of it was completely gone. A massive hole instead sat in the center of the room, punching down all the way to the next level. I could see tunnel entrances down in the darkness, made accessible by the gaping maw above them. Everything was covered in a white, flimsy dust, including the ceiling. My EFS showed red everywhere, but I'd become pretty accustomed to that since being in Everfree.
"Wow, talk about your ancient history," Sunshine said. "This place is nuts." "Tell me about it," I said, pointing to the hole in the center of the room. "Looks like we found our way down, though. Sunshine, see what you can do making a way for us to get down there. Violet, you with me. Nixis, you and Lilith watch our back. I've got a very bad feeling about this place, and I can't seem to shake it."
Sunshine nodded, trotting over to the edge of the hole. Her horn flashed as she started to cast spell after spell, weaving a staircase of vines that extended deep down into the chasm. I trotted off to the side, inspecting one of the ponikins. I placed my hoof on it, trying to wipe away the dust. Instead, my hoof stuck to it. I blinked, trying to pull my hoof away. I was stuck. My eyes narrowed at the ponikin and my horn flared, ripping the thing away from me as hard as I could. The white flimsy dust that everything had been covered in came away on my hoof instead, draped over like threads of fabric. I blinked.
Guys, this isn't dust, I said, backing away up next to Violet.
A chittering sound came from the ponikin as its neck burst open, revealing a large creature I'd definitely seen before. A star spider, a really big one too. It had 12 legs and was drooling rainbow spittle as it popped out of the ponikin, leaving a shattered shell behind.
"Star spiders!"
Violet cried out, lifting Thunderflash. The star spider hissed, leaping into the air at my mare friend. I growled.
"Oh no, not today, Buster!"
I shouted, flaring my horn. Stargazer came up in a flash, searing the engorged beast with a blast of blue light. More hissing noises revealed several more of the creatures hiding amidst the fallen ponikin dolls. I grimaced. We didn't have any more of that silly plan to lure them away. We needed to run, get below ground where we could hopefully block off a tunnel or something. Nixis roared, slicing open three of the spiders that had appeared behind him and Lilith, while the black mare herself was using her wing blades to kill two more. Violet fired wildly at the walls, screeching noises resulting from the beam rifle's blasts. Five really big ones skittered along towards Sunshine, the pink unicorn yelping loudly as they spat rainbow goop at her. I growled, flaring my horn and putting up a shield that was instantly dissolved by the goop, but thankfully prevented it from hitting Sunshine.
"Sunshine, get us down now!"
I shouted.
"Every pony else follow her, I'm going to hold them off!"
I lifted Stargazer, dropping into ESATS. I queued up every shot I could, letting the spell release as my gun's barrels sped up. Blazing blue light struck the five large taint spiders, disintegrating them into nothingness. Sunshine rushed back over to the hole, her horn flaring manically as she struggled to cast her vine spell. Lilith growled as she sliced into several more taint spiders.
"We don't have time for that. Nixis, you grab Violet, I got Sunshine,"
she shouted, taking wing. She reached out, latching onto the pink mare while Nixis slopped over and casually picked up Violet like she was a filly. I watched as Nixis dove down the side of the hole, Violet clinging to his back like a cape as he used his claws to slow their descent. I swore I could hear her screaming all the way down. I growled, lifting Stargazer and sending blasts of blue into three more of the spider things. Not only were the ones here bigger, but there were more of the damn things too. I edged closer to the hole and jumped back into the air, spreading my wings slightly enough to glide down. As I lowered into the hole, I fired dozens of times at the rock and metal that comprised the sides of the chasm. Debris went flying everywhere, causing whatever was holding everything up to shake loudly. Pieces of rock fell from above, hitting star spiders and turning them into rainbow paste. I landed on the ground below, grunting loudly. Nixie stood at the entrance to another tunnel, his claws pressed against the stone. Violet and Sunshine stood next to him while Lilith watched their backs. I galloped up to join them.
"I think perhaps now is the time for a tactical retreat," I said urgently.
Nixie nodded and pointed down the hall.
"This way, then. We'll collapse the tunnel behind us," he said.
Violet's eyes widened.
"What? That's crazy. How are we supposed to get back out of here?"
she said.
"There's another way out," Nixie replied.
"How do you know that?"
Violet shouted.
"The stone is finally giving up some secrets," Nixie said. "Trust me."
We shared a glance for a moment and I nodded. Nixie's was right. This knowledge of the stonework of this place was proving to be highly valuable. I did trust him.
"Nixie's is right," I said. "We don't have the time to argue about this. Those things will be down here any minute."
Violet grunted, but sighed and trotted down the tunnel after Sunshine and Lilith. I looked back at Nixie's.
"I hope you know what you're doing."
"I'm confident, Star,"
he said.
"I'll bring down the tunnel once I'm inside. You go on and catch up to the others."
I grimaced, nodding. I charged into the tunnel, followed closely by the Hellhound. Nixie stopped and reached out with both claws, embedding them into the sides of the tunnel. He roared loudly, bringing rocks and debris down in front of him with practiced ease. Dust reached my nostrils, forcing me to sneeze. Nixie smiled as he admired his work, the tunnel now closed off from any outside interference.
"Wow,"
I said. Nixie slopped up next to me, a toothy grin on his face.
"I thought I told you to catch up with the others," he said.
I shrugged lightly.
"I wanted to make sure you'd be all right," I replied.
Nixie nodded, passing by me. I walked behind him, stuck in my thoughts for a moment. Every second I was getting closer to Spark. Every second was one fewer until I was going to be in her presence, and I still had no real clue on how I was going to get through to her once I saw her. Shaking my thoughts away, I continued forward. Eventually we caught up with the others. They hadn't gone far. The tunnel we found ourselves went on for quite a while, and we were forced to light our horns up to be able to see. The tunnel wound downwards, depositing us into a maintenance shaft that held metal stairs. I looked up, seeing that the stairs thankfully kept going.
"Twilight,"
I said in the back of my mind.
"Star,"
I heard Twilight's voice reply.
"You're going to want to go down. Spark's close. I can feel her now. She knows you're here. I'm sure of it. Hurry."
"Looks like down,"
I said aloud. The others nodded and I took the first step down onto the stairs. Cautiously, we made our way down, deeper and deeper. The stairs ended at a landing that led us into a much larger hallway that looked to be in far better shape than the tunnels above us had been. It seemed that not everything had been completely destroyed during the battle with the Enclave. As we walked, my pipbuck chimed, indicating that we had found Stable 101. At the far end of the hall and down a large set of stairs was a traditional massive gear-shaped door. The numbers 101 were faded, but still visible. The door was slid to the side of the opening, revealing another tunnel beyond.
"Is this it?" Violet pondered. "Is this where Spark is?" "I don't know for sure, but we're going to find out,"
I said, stepping inside the stable. The musky scent of rotting flesh assaulted my nose as I moved forward. The main hallway had become decrepit in its disuse since Red Eye's forces had been cleared out of here. The walls were a mottled brown instead of gray, which gave me great concern. The floor was grated and I could hear the plinking of water below us. At the intersection we stopped. To our left was what appeared to be biological refuse. A sign above a door at the far end of that hall had the words "research" on it, but I couldn't read the rest of it through a thick coat of gore and chunks. I grimaced.
"I really don't like this place," Sunshine said softly. "It's really creepy."
"I agree with Sunshine," Lilith replied. "Something about this place is really off, aside from the radar chic decoration."
"Just stick together," I said. "We're getting closer. I can feel it."
I realized that I could. Spark was here, somewhere. I could feel her. We were nearing her location. I trotted down the hall aimlessly, looking for anything that could tell us where to go next. The walls began to get worse as I made my way closer to the research doors. They were now dark brown. I could see and smell foul-smelling liquids staining the door in the corners.
Luna, what is that smell?
Violet gagged. I cringed my nose as well. Lilith was right about one thing. Something was way off about this place. The door beyond the next one was open already. Whatever had been in the next room had left it in hellish conditions. I nearly retched. Pieces of body parts were scattered about the room along with massive glass tubes that contained floating bodies. They were misshapen, deformed, and most certainly dead. Some of the tubes were broken open, their liquids spilled onto the floor below and the helpless occupant dangling outwards. My eyes widened as I recognized the fluid. It was shimmering with a rainbow color I knew all too well.
Get out now, Star!
Twilight screamed in the back of my mind.
Get out of this place!
What the fuck?
Lilith said as she trotted past me inside. She stepped up next to one of the sealed tubes.
What the hell is this shit? Lilith, step back right now, please,
I said urgently. Lilith grimaced.
It's fine, Star. I'm not gonna go near any of that stuff. I know what taint is now, remember?
She said. I glared at her. There was something seriously wrong with this place. Twilight's panic aside, we needed to get out of here.
Lilith, I don't think this is the time, I said. This is clearly not the place for us to be. We should go. Something isn't right here.
Lilith rolled her eyes.
Fine, all right,
she said, trotting back over to me. The room shook as she stopped next to me, a groan and a grunt echoing from deep inside the room. I lifted Stargazer as something big and dripping with taint burst out of one of the dead bodies in the room. It was bipedal and not even pony-like in nature. In fact, I think it might have been a minotaur or a griffin once. It had no eyes, and yet I felt its glare of hatred upon me. It roared, flinging a pile of the stuff my way. I growled, lifting my shield and trying to force the door closed. It wouldn't close properly. The ball of tainted rubble shattered on my shield, sizzling loudly.
Everyone back the way we came!
I shouted. I fired a blast from Stargazer at the monster, hitting it square in the face. It roared loudly, charging through the blast like it was nothing. It struck my shield hard, rocking me back. I hit the ground with a grunt, my shield spell dropping in a flash. Violet fired a stream of silver at the taint-dripping monster from behind me, hitting it in the chest. It fell backwards to the ground.
Star!
She cried out. I scrambled to my hoofs as a ball of taint hit the ground in front of me. I jumped back, lifting Stargazer again. Before I could get another shot off, I felt myself yanked back, a soft green glow surrounding me. I realized why a second later when another monster shot up through the grated floor, roaring loudly. Rainbow-colored liquid seeped up from where the creature had appeared.
Shit!
I shouted as Violet pulled me along. The others were ahead of her. More and more of the rainbow-colored liquid bubbled up from the grates. Several more of the taint-dripping beasts burst out of the walls, roaring and snarling. Violet dropped me to my hoofs, looking up at me for guidance. I grimaced, flaring my horn and sending a wave of telekinesis down the hall, knocking back the taint beasts for a brief moment. It didn't take them long to get back up.
We need to find a way out of here, Violet said.
I growled, nodding. I stumped a hoof, lifting Stargazer.
Hurry up and head down the central hall. There's gotta be a set of stairs or something,
I said, blasting another one of the taint monsters down.
Sunshine, can you slow these things down any?
I can try,
the pink mare replied, her horn igniting as she tried to summon her magical vines. As soon as they touched the rainbow-colored liquid, however, the vines withered and died. Sunshine frowned.
No can do. The taint is killing them.
Best option is to run, and run fast,
Lilith said, a killer gleam in her eye. The bitch whined at her side as she turned to throw Nixie's a wink.
I'm gonna take down this tunnel.
My eyes widened and I nodded.
Every pony, keep going!
I called back. Nixies and Sunshine pushed onward, making it to the intersection while Violet and I stuck close behind Lilith. The black Pegasus grinned widely as she aimed.
Eat this!
she shouted, unleashing a missile from the bitch. The projectile hit the ceiling above the taint monsters, exploding in shards of flaming stone wreckage. I quickly lifted my shield, preventing any of the debris from hitting us. The ceiling itself caved in, landing on the taint beasts. Rainbow liquid splashed everywhere. I was thanking my lucky stars that no pony had been hit by it.
"Star!"
I heard Sunshine shout. I turned, my eyes going white in horror. More of the taint things were at the other end of the hallway. They were closing in to where Nixie stood. The hellhound pulled in a massive breath and snarled, roaring a challenge at them. I galloped towards the intersection, followed by Violet and Lilith. Nixie's placed his claws on each side on the tunnel, intent on trying to bring down this one as well. He never got that far. One of the monsters, a griffin thing with bladed arms, burst out from the wall next to the hellhound. With a gurgling shriek, the thing brought down one of its arm blades down on Nixie's. Nixie's tried to dodge, but didn't make it clear. He screamed as his left arm was separated at the elbow. I shouted, reaching out with my magic to yank him back away from the second attack. The bladed monster was met by the combined firepower of Stargazer and Thunderflash, sending it flying back into its brethren.
Nixie's!
Violet called out, dropping her fire and letting her horn magic doing its best to scan the hellhound's arm. Nixie's howled in pain, blood streaming from his stump. A set of bandages worked its way from Violet's saddlebags, wrapping cleanly around the wound. A syringe of Medex floated out as well, calming Nixie's cries for the moment. I grimaced. On either side of us, more of the taint monsters appeared despite being knocked off from one side. They simply siphoned through the cracks and reformed on the other side. I growled under my breath. There was little in the way out of this. I blinked, realizing something.
"It's all one creature,"
I said aloud. The taint monsters weren't individual creatures, they were all connected by the taint itself. This whole floor was the home of one massive beastie, one that was hungry for pony, and now hellhound, blood. The area around us roared and I grimaced.
"Everyone, stay calm, we need to keep moving. If we stay here, we'll die." "What about Nixie's?"
Violet said angrily. Her eyes were red and puffy.
"Carry him along, we're not leaving him behind,"
I replied. Violet responded by flaring her horn, lifting the hellhound in the air. We pushed down the hallway, the very floor beneath us churning and rumbling as we ran. Reaching out with my magic, I cast Shining Armor's shield spell just as a claw made of taint emerged from below. It hit the shield with a sizzle and a pop, splashing against the wall.
"Everyone stay in the shield and look for an exit." "Over here,"
I heard Sunshine shout. I followed her waving motions, seeing a pair of blue bars of light framing a massive set of stairs that led further down. We barreled down them, the rusted steps groaning under our weight. We hit the first landing and stopped, looking back up. Another claw, this time much bigger, had formed out of the taint and was getting closer to the stairwell. I heard the thing roar and howl as it tried to reach outside of the hallway. It stopped. A sizzling sound echoed down the stairwell, the taint splashing against some invisible barrier at the top of the stairs. The creature, whatever it was, roared again in pain. Several times it tried to slam at the entrance to the stairwell, each time getting rebuffed by whatever was rejecting it. I blinked.
"What's that?"
I said aloud. A tap on my shoulder told me I didn't have much time to process what was going on. We continued down the stairwell, only stopping again when we reached the bottom. A massive vault door set off to the side from another hallway, this one thankfully constructed of solid stonework. Violet set Nixie's down, frantically removing the filthy bandage from the injured hellhound. Nixie's groaned slightly.
"Shit, this is bad,"
Violet said. I sat down next to her while Sunshine and Lilith kept a close eye on the stairwell above.
"Is he all right?"
I said, my eyes drawn to the wound. It was grossly black, despite the bleeding having stopped.
"Other than losing an arm and a lot of blood," Violet said. "I'm not sure if there's any more."
Violet's sentence was cut off as Nixie's arm spasmed, a growth of flesh expelling from the blackened wound. It grew until it turned into a tentacle wrapping around my meh friend.
"Violet!"
I shouted. I reacted with my magic, grabbing a hold of the offending appendage and forcing it to let go of my laugh. There was only one reason for a reaction like that. Taint. It had seeped into the wound and was causing a mutation.
Nixis howled as I let the tentacle out. There was only one pony here that may have had any sort of clue what to do.
Sunshine, we need you here. What's wrong?
Oh, Sunshine said as she saw the slimy tentacle.
Shit, that doesn't look so good. He's got some taint in the wound,
I said.
I need you to cast a taint cleansing spell.
Sunshine's eyes widened.
But I have never been able to really cast one of those. I failed most of my magic exams back at Ten Pony,
she said.
All I'm good for is my earth magic. Do you know the spell or don't you?
I asked frantically. Sunshine nodded.
Then you've got to try. You can do it. I know you can.
Sunshine grimaced but nodded. She trotted over to Nixie's side and ignited her horn. The tentacle writhed, pulling out of my magical grasp. It lashed out, slapping the pink mare across her face and knocking her back.
Sunshine!
I shouted, turning back to Nixie's, taking a hit to my chest from the slimy appendage. I fell back, grunting as I felt the tentacle wrap itself around my leg. It lifted me into the air as it grew larger.
Sunshine, little help here?
The pink mare was back on her hoofs, her horn blasting with light.
I'm trying, I can't do this,
she cried. I growled, trying to use my magic to grab the tentacle and free myself. It was resisting all of my attempts, however, almost like the taint was increasing Nixie's resistance to magic in general.
If you don't, we're going to have to cut it off, and that won't be pretty,
Violet said. Nixie's looked horrified at his own arm. I don't think he really even understood what was going on. Sunshine furrowed her brow and nodded.
A fair warning, this might be painful,
she said as she cast the spell. She grunted loudly, pouring more and more magic into the spell. Suddenly, a soft light washed over the hellhound's arm, rippling across his entire body. Nixie's eyes shot open, the canine howling in pain as the spell did its work. After several antagonizing moments, the light drifted away, revealing the stump of his arm. The tentacle lay rising and dying below him. Sunshine grunted, slumping to her haunches. She panted hard.
You did it,
I said, blinking. Sunshine nodded, smiling weakly. Violet was right there, using her magic to send a blaze of fire into the wound, cauterizing it. Nixie's howled under the pain. Finally, Violet's horn cut off. The hellhound breathed a sigh of relief after the green mare injected another medex into him. Violet lifted a good set of bandages, wrapping them around the stump until it was completely covered. Several long minutes passed of silence as Nixie's rested.
Is he going to be okay?
I said. Violet nodded. It seems like Sunshine's spell got rid of all of the taint, she said, her horn flaring as she scanned the arm. The hellhound lay there, unconscious for the most part.
He should be all right now. Do we have any Hydra?
Sunshine said quietly.
I mean, that might help regenerate the limb.
Her mane was ragged and her cheeks flushed from the intensity of the spell she had just cast. Violet shook her head, her expression grave.
No, I generally don't use that stuff on principle, she said. Hydra's bad shit, highly addictive. Besides, we don't have the other part of the arm to even try reattaching it.
Sunshine nodded, sighing as she rested her head back.
It wouldn't have been worth reattaching anyways,
I said softly.
Not with that taint all over it. It would have been way worse.
What in the hell was that thing anyways?
Lilith said.
It's not following us, that's for damn sure.
I grimaced.
I think it was some sort of giant creature,
I said.
A giant taint monster.
So why isn't it coming after us? Pretty sure we pissed it off something fierce,
Sunshine asked, grunting as she rested on her side.
I don't think it can,
I said.
It hit some sort of barrier when it tried to chase us into the stairwell. I think whatever testing was being done there was set up to prevent against anything getting loose.
I don't even want to know what they were testing up there,
Lilith said, turning to sit down next to Nixie's.
What about this old dog? Is he going to be okay?
I'm confident he'll be fine, Violet said. It's all up to him now.
So we waited and watched. Sunshine rested near the sleeping hellhound, sipping down a potion to regain her strength. The taint removal spell had been taxing on the pink mare, I could tell. Lilith got back up and kept a close eye on the stairwell, but nothing ever came down it. Whatever had been up in that room was stuck there. I was suddenly very glad for the wasteland overall that whoever had been up there testing with Taint had the capacity to install such safeguards. After what felt like eternity, but was just like 20 minutes according to my pipbug, a grunt emitted from Nixie's mouth. His eyes fluttered open silently and he groaned.
What happened?
Nixie's finally managed to whisper. His voice sounded pained, but getting stronger with each word.
You almost lost a lot more than your arm, I said.
Nixie's blanched white, groaning as he lifted his other arm. He touched the bandage cautiously and growled.
My arm,
he said softly. I hung my head, closing my eyes. Nixie's panted but nodded, pushing into a sitting position. Violet lifted a healing potion to its lips, the canine drinking deeply.
Feeling better?
My green mare asked.
I'll be all right. Can't count me out yet, he said.
I stood, shaking my wings out. I trotted over to the overturned vault door, a sharp breath escaping my mouth as I looked inside. The hallway was pure stone, several torches lining the walls. It went on for quite a while. I looked up and saw that the stairwell went far up past where we had escaped from the Taint Beast. This place was huge. Stone and metalwork ran all the way up the shaft. I looked back to the hallway. Something was in the middle of it. A pony? I felt a stirring in the back of my mind. This was familiar. Why was this familiar? The pony in the hallway grinned and my eyes widened. The black mane, the green coat. It was her. Spark. I closed my eyes and opened them again. The pony was gone.
You saw her too,
Twilight said. I grimaced.
Spark?
I thought.
Of course, Star, have you thought about what we've talked about? You need to seal Spark away for good,
Twilight said.
I'm still going to save her, Twilight. Sealing her away is not an option, I thought.
Star, you're blind. Spark is dangerous. She's going to destroy everything,
Twilight replied. I frowned.
I don't know. I still need to try, Twilight,
I thought. Twilight fell silent. I felt a hoof on my shoulder.
Star,
Violet said. I looked down.
Are you all right? I thought I saw something,
I said.
I don't know. I think we're close to her. I keep getting these feelings like I've been here before.
We need to rest for a bit, Violet said. Especially you. You've been pushing yourself really hard ever since Patch at the Folds.
I know, I said, sighing. But I don't have much of a choice, Violet. If Spark gets her way, she's going to destroy the world.
Violet grimaced.
10 more minutes, then,
she said, turning back to the others.
10 minutes, and then we'll be going. Nixies, are you okay to walk on your own?
I believe I will be all right, the Hellhound said. Thanks to your expert care, Violet.
Violet blushed.
You're welcome,
she said, slumping to her haunches. I trotted over and sat next to her, extending a wing over her back. She looked up and smiled.
Thanks. No problem, I replied, catching Nixie's glance.
He nodded, and although his expression was pained, he was smiling. I didn't even know how he'd managed to do it. Despite everything that had happened, he was still maintaining a positive disposition.
It's not your fault, you know,
the Hellhound said before I could even think it. I chuckled softly.
Somehow, I know you're right about that,
I said softly.
Doesn't make me worry about you any less, though.
I know,
Nixie said.
I know.